Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Okay, welcome to Football at 4. Let's get to this story for Tim Patrick. So, long pass from Paxton Lynch. You know, Paxton, you know, he's a big, tall athlete. No doubt about it. I mean, he throws a beautiful ball, for sure, when it's on target. And he can throw a deep ball with ease, Al. You know, that's not his issue. His arm strength and that sort of athletic thing with Paxton Lynch, not the issue. So throws a beautiful pass, and I don't know exactly who Patrick caught the ball over, a defensive back, you know, something. Just really kind of the coolest play of the day. But it's a move the ball period. I don't think he got in the end zone. I think he went out maybe 2-3 yard line, something like that. You know, we're standing so far away, it's impossible. The fans have a much better view than we do. So they get up to the line for the next play, and I don't even know what it was. But I think they scored. They might not have scored. But what we saw was Tim Patrick, who was obviously getting some crap from somebody about something, take his head and slam it into a cornerback and more or less not take any chisel. That's what I saw, at least. You saw some spirit out of this guy, Tim Patrick. Is that what you saw, more or less?
Absolutely, and the guy is not going to step back, and he's not going to – he came to play. I'm telling you, I don't know what the Broncos –
he is not a rookie. He's already spent – he spent a year with the – what's he doing, the practice squad? Or he was with the Broncos last year to a certain degree. I forget exactly what it was. He's from Utah. He's a huge dude, and he has some attitude, correct?
Yes. Look.
You're looking at Courtland Sutton from yesterday?
It said, this is not the same photo from yesterday.
No, because there's three.
It's every day.
There's three. I know. I saw that. It's a great picture. There's three photos of three consecutive days of Courtland Sutton high-pointing a ball over a defender that the defender's got.
I mean, look at him.
But he played for Baltimore and San Fran. He was with the Broncos to a certain degree last year, wasn't he?
Tim Patrick entered the NFL as a college free agent with Baltimore in 2017. He was claimed off waivers by San Francisco just a couple months after that. Spent most of training camp last year with the 49ers. Waived September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Was on the Broncos practice squad two different points last season.
Okay.
Rejoining the club November 15th.
Gotcha. Okay. Ah, no, man. The kid can ball. And he can run. And Courtland Sutton's a stud. And so if I'm picking five wide receivers right now, you know, it's Hamilton, Sutton, DT, and Emmanuel. And Emmanuel's having a great camp, too. And I don't mean to say DT's having a bad camp.
Who are the five?
My five?
Mm-hmm.
Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, Courtland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, and Tim Patrick.
Mm.
Those are my five.
Let me ask you this. Okay. And I hate to do this, but I have to. If we were looking at this receiving core, and it was 2016, and we were looking at Cody Latimer on this team, who left as a free agent,
mm-hmm.
would Cody Latimer make this team?
No.
Okay, let me give
you... It's a good question.
Okay,
I don't think he would.
Let me give you another name.
All right.
From 2016.
Okay.
Why am I drawing a blank?
Does
Benny Fowler make this team if he was still here?
It's a complicated question
because he builds
up an amazing relationship with Peyton Manning.
No, it's not.
If you're
talking about the receivers that we have on this team right now, does Benny Fowler make the team?
No, he does not.
Does Cody Latimer make the team?
Does Benny Fowler make the team?
No, he does not. You said the right answer.
Does Latimer? No.
So what they've
done is tricky because Latimer was a special teams wizard.
Yeah, but now they have gotten all of those guys with pass catching ability and size.
True.
I mean, McKenzie is in the fight for his life, and Latimer doesn't even know it.
Latimer wouldn't make the team as a receiver. He may make the team as that. That's why, to me, this year, it's five wide receivers, and it's five running backs. Because I see the running backs filling, and Janovich isn't one of them. My running backs right now are Royce Freeman, Devontae Booker, David Williams, Philip Lindsay, D'Angelo Henderson.
Mm.
Those are my five guys. And I could see David Williams having a good, solid special teams role, taking care of the Janovich special teams thing. D'Angelo Henderson got high praise today by Billy Moose, the offensive coordinator of the Broncos. High praise. Like, whenever a coach stops in a press conference and he's not asked about a specific athlete,
he's just trying to make sure that guy doesn't lose his identity in this whole rush of new players that we're talking about.
Fine. But that's a high priority, a guy they like, that sort of thing.
That. I don't know. I'll say that I think some of these coaches understand that the media write these stories and the players read them. So
there's no doubt about that.
You want to make sure that all of the guys receive their due, and we just haven't really been focusing hardly any on D'Angelo Henderson.
Anyways, those are my five guys.
I wouldn't say five.
Janovich is out. So I wouldn't have six wide receivers. I don't think you need them.
I didn't say six.
I've got five running backs. I've got five wide receivers. I got four tight ends.
I got five tight ends.
They don't carry five. Nobody carries five tight ends.
You lose your fullback. You lose your fullback.
Okay. Austin Traylor.
Austin Traylor is in.
Who are your four tight ends? Five's way too many, but for the sake of argument.
We go four. Then.
Okay. Who are your four tight ends?
Like Matt LaCrosse. LaCrosse.
Yeah.
LaCrosse.
He's my guy, too. Hyerman's out. LaCrosse is in. He goes with Bud and Fumagalli and Austin Traylor.
I'm going to say Austin Traylor, Fumagalli, Jake Butt, and they do keep Hyerman.
Oh, so you do have five.
I don't think that they're going to keep
LaCrosse.
Well, he's a big guy.
I'd take him over Hyerman.
Okay, well, I'm just saying that they keep four.
I'm talking you as the GM, not what they're going to do. What would you do?
What I would do, I would have Austin Traylor as my starter. I would have Jake Butt as my receiving tight end, and I'd use Fumagalli as the F. So the guy that's off the ball, moving and creating mismatches.
Right, and I would keep LaCrosse for special teams and red zone.
The problem is, okay, so those are the three that I would keep for sure. And at wide receiver, though, I would probably find a way to keep six wide receivers.
Why? For what reason?
Because you just it's one of those freaky years where
you put guys on practice squad. I mean, you can stash some dudes on practice squad.
Like Deshaun Hamilton is going to make the team.
There's four guys.
Corbin Sutton is going to make the team.
Yes.
DT and Sanders make the team.
Now who?
Then you have to go start. Tim Patrick is
right now. You have to make a philosophical decision. Do you take Isaiah McKenzie, who, if he can possibly catch the ball, unlike he did today, he is dangerous.
Got a feeling Cortland Sutton will be wearing 84.
Okay.
Because that's the number
that Fumagalli's wearing that.
Fumagalli is what number is Fumagalli wearing? 84?
84.
Oh, that was Isaiah McKenzie's last number.
Isaiah's
last year.
Wearing 16.
I know.
It's a bad number.
Doesn't look good on him.
No.
Okay, I see six wideouts.
Who? Hold that thought.
McKenzie's going to make it, but we can get to it. But I just don't think that you just don't get this kind of is Philly Brown out because of the concussion?
He's been out because of the concussion. He's in the protocol. He's toast. Sorry. Wrong time to drop a weight on your head. We'll take a quick break. I think when you think about it more, you'll see five make sense. But usually it's only four running backs. I've got five running backs.
You can't have five. You can have four.
I got a little different. Because
you can't have five.
Because I think they're going to fill out special
teams. Don't
tell
me what
better.
They should do. What would you do?
We'll do it next. Back? We'll do it next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Jerry Garcia would have been how old today? We know. We love Jerry. 76. Colorado turns 142.
What is Colorado known for, D-Mac?
In your opinion. I'm on Jeopardy here.
What are the three things that Colorado is known for, in your opinion?
What is Colorado Rockies?
What is Colorado Rockies?
Well, no. You say the most...
It's cold, it's tough.
It's cold?
It's cold. So what are the three things?
We're known for the mountains, my man.
Okay, the mountains. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's it.
Come on, we know from mountains. What
John
else?
Elway and legal weed. I think with that.
Okay, legal weed.
Those are the three big
pillars. Legal weed. And not John Elway, but
the Denver Broncos.
That's right. That's okay. What I had. Okay. I had. Colorado's famous for skiing, or should I say, snow sports. Legalized marijuana and the Denver Broncos. Just keeping it real.
All right, breaking news about Urban Meyer at Ohio State. The ex-wife of former Ohio State assistant Zach Smith says she told Buckeyes coach Urban Meyer's wife in 2015 that her husband had assaulted her, an incident Meyer said last week he was unaware of. However, Courtney Smith gave an interview and provided text messages to former ESPN reporter Brett McMurphy between her and Shelly Meyer and with the wives of other Buckeyes coaches.
Mm.
Courtney Smith also provided threatening texts she claims came from her ex-husband. So the deal here, now this goes back. Zach was charged in May with misdemeanor criminal trespass. Zach Smith's attorney said Courtney Smith had accused him of driving to her apartment after she told him they would meet somewhere else so he could drop off their son. Zach Smith pled not guilty last month. Zach Smith was accused of aggravated battery on his then-pregnant wife in 2009 while he was a graduate assistant on Meyer's staff. So what we have going on here is the belief that Meyer did know about it and did nothing about it.
Zach Smith, was fired by Ohio State on July 23rd, but was never charged with domestic violence as a crime.
Urban Meyer has not been fired. He's been suspended. So is there anything else, Brian, that I'm missing here? Is there anything specific?
I mean, Brett McMurphy actually has a Facebook post that he has posted up that has pictures, I believe, of the victim that have... bruises, cuts, and blood on there. You also have the actual text messages that were shared with Brett McMurphy as well. So there's this Facebook post that I forwarded over to D-Mac so he can give it a look-see. But there are 10 pictures attached to it, and it's pretty damning evidence, I mean, if it's all true.
He was fired on July 23rd this year, so apparently the people at Ohio State, and Urban Meyer in particular, didn't feel comfortable having him on the staff. So, sounds like a familiar occasion that happened at the University of Colorado, to be totally honest with you. I don't know what the consequence will be for Urban Meyer, but Coach McIntyre is still the coach at the University of Colorado.
Do you think this is a precursor to something Coach McIntyre should... I mean, do you think this could lead to something else at CU?
No, I don't know. You know, I don't know what the I don't know what the wives have said to the husbands, and certainly it was a similar story for what happened at the University of Colorado, and now it sounds familiar since it's being discussed on ESPN right now. I mean, it's the lead story on ESPN because Urban Meyer is poised to make another national championship run with his Ohio State Buckeyes, but he's been placed on administrative leave.
Well, this goes back to really Joe Paterno, meaning covering up for the misdeeds of your coaches.
If you knew.
If you knew, right. And I think CU's too far down the line, to be quite honest with you. I mean, they've kind of gone through this whole process. I don't know if they would open something up again.
Well, know,
every university has to sort of make their own judgment on things.
Right, right. And you have to judge whether or not you think the head coach in this instance is being truthful with you.
But it is something when if Ohio State can do it,
Coach McIntyre was put on, I think, administrative leave as well.
He was?
I think I'm not sure, but I'm almost sure of it.
I'm not
100% on that, but I know that was something that a hold on, wait a minute moment from the Board of Regents to say, let's reinvestigate this.
Talking about McIntyre?
Yeah.
McIntyre, they were talking about extending his contract.
But before they extended it, they froze everything and stopped everything to make sure that everything was on the up and up at the University of Colorado. That I know for sure.
Well, they're calling a timeout at Ohio State with Urban Meyer till they probably investigate it further. So will one of the most prominent coaches in college football remain? Interesting story to follow. We'll take a break.
It is going to be something to watch here for all of college football and maybe even for the NFL and the other pro sports because the social consciousness of your coaches is going to be held with the head coach even if you aren't the one that is committing these egregious acts.
The Joe Paterno thing showed that you just cannot do that. You cannot.
What about the Jim Boeheim deal? How much different is that?
The Paterno thing's way worse.
Oh, no doubt. But the responsibility now is on the head coach to make sure that
it's your program.
You have vetted everyone in your program, not just the players, but also the coaches. It's a new standard.
Okay, we'll take a break. More about Broncos training camp next.
Covering training camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, the difference between CU and OSU is Mac reported it immediately to his superiors and the coach was fired within 30 days. Urban Meyer appears to have covered this up for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And
huge difference.
Until the story became public. So if you're just catching up, breaking within the hours, that Urban Meyer has been put on administrative leave. And I know you were looking at some stuff, too. So
yeah, Brett McMurphy's Twitter page has an interview where there is an exclusive of Zach Smith's ex-wife, Courtney Smith, where she's talking about the incidents that have taken place and how she believes that the victims in this case should be protected and not worry about football games, whether you win or lose. And, of course, we all believe that that should be the case. And she has pictures and photos on her website to go along with the storyline and the question was asked to Courtney Smith, did you tell Urban Meyer's wife what happened? And she said yes. She said, and then the interviewer asked, did she tell her husband? And Courtney Smith, the victim, said she doesn't know. So maybe Urban Meyer's wife told him, maybe she didn't.
Well, there you go. Now he's taking a timeout, and I guess that's what they'll try to figure out. There you go. I don't know what more to say about it, to be quite honest.
I don't either. It's just a premier program in college football. This always highlights to me what's going on at the collegiate level in college football. And it also brings up a reminder to college football fans is that this is not an NCAA type of environment. The university presidents have total control over football at the collegiate level. And when the presidents decide that something needs to be done one way or the other, then there is action. The NCAA is kind of like the only the NCAA is the enforcer of breaking rules when it comes to academics. Other than that, they don't run college football. The presidents really do. So we'll see what happens with the president of the school at Oklahoma. Excuse me, at Ohio State University. Gordon Gee, by the way, used to be the president of the University of Colorado, and then he went over to Ohio State, where they started to win there as well. So a little bit of connection to Colorado.
Okay.
He was my guy. He was my guy.
All right.
Big Gordon Gee fan.
Coordinators.
Yes.
What I like Tom McMahon, the special teams guy. I tend to like all special teams coaches.
They're your kind of people.
They are my kind of people. They always have a lot of energy. They all seem I like Brock Olivo, to be quite honest, personally. I thought he was a terrible special teams coach, but I mean, I liked him personally.
They had that good energy.
I had a great relationship with Joe DeCamillis, you know.
He was so salty he didn't get interviewed for the head coaching job here.
Well,
he was a great special teams coach.
He took a lateral move, you know. He went to Jacksonville as their special teams coach.
Jacksonville turned it around.
And he probably wasn't that thrilled. Joe D is a great guy. And I like this McMahon guy seems cool. He seems cool and everything seems good. So I like Billy Musgrave too. I don't really know him all that well, but the interactions I've had with him are pretty positive, and I hope he succeeds. You know, I think he's got a sly sense of humor. I think he could be, he certainly has the background. If you want to look into a really good athlete who didn't really wasn't really a superstar in the NFL, but golly, Billy Musgrave was a
Grand Junction's best, man. Grand Junction's best. That's what I used to call him, man. Grand Junction's best.
I'm actually a little surprised he wasn't a better quarterback in the NFL. But
what does that mean?
Well, he's just his background would just lead you to believe that he was about to, you know, he was going in the right direction as far as that goes. And sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
There's only 32 quarterbacks that get to play on any given Sunday as a starter.
His pedigree with football is just through the roof.
He's called a lot of plays.
Through the roof.
He's called a lot of plays and been in a lot of games. And for that, I think he deserved the spot of offensive coordinator. The thing that you want in your organization when you're trying to establish yourself is familiarity. First of all, I know this guy. I know what he's about. I think that's why Mike McCoy was hired back here, because the mindset had to be in the front office, hey, when Mike McCoy was last here, we went to a Super Bowl. And, you know, we're going to score 30 points a game. Well, really, you know, that was also Peyton Manning that was leading that offense. And we all know how Peyton, dictated on the field, the action and how they got into plays and out of plays and, you know, the hurry and all that stuff. I mean, it was coordinated, but it was executed perfectly by Peyton Manning.
All right, here's Musgrave about the quarterback group.
These guys are a super group. Chad Kelly has made tremendous strides from a year ago. Of course, he was injured with his wrist.
Stop that.
We like what he's doing.
What is that?
Wait, we just said all these nice things about Bill Musgrave. What are you talking about?
What's that, man?
I think they're just like not
hey,
a super.
Come on, man.
I think they're nice
what
guys.
What does that mean?
I think he means that they're nice guys, not that it's like.
Okay, well, start it over.
I don't think it's like the Avengers.
I'm like, man, super group. I'm like,
I think they're just like a super group.
These guys are swell?
Yeah, yes. I think if you said these guys are swell, that's what he meant.
Okay.
Not like it's
These guys are a
swell
group. Chad Kelly. Has made tremendous strides from a year ago. Of course, he was injured with his wrist, but we like what he's doing out on the field, too. They're going to stub their toe a bunch because they're young, and we're all young. It's our first year in the system, so we've got to keep climbing and keep learning from all of our miscues.
Now, I will say this. There is a group, but we didn't get to it yesterday, and I told you about this group that is disproportionately out of your Trubisky-Glennon doctrine.
Who's that?
The Dallas Cowboys.
What are they doing at quarterback?
The Dallas
Dak
Cowboys.
Dak Prescott, of course. Is it Mark Sanchez still there?
Mike White.
Draft. No, that's.
Yeah.
Okay. And?
Okay. And they have, I think, total number. When you look at the Dallas Cowboys as far as
the money they're
salary
spending,
goes,
they're going on the cheap.
Oh, D-Mac, I think it's under $2 million for four quarterbacks that are on
not,
the roster.
That's not good.
So
that does go fly in the face. That's not using a significant budget, whatever it would be for the quarterback position. Clearly, that's a great pickup by you. In my mind, they clearly should pick up a $5 to $6 million a year veteran quarterback.
Right.
Clearly.
Right. And I was thinking about that because I was looking at
the
averages.
So it's Dak Prescott. Who's their third string guy?
It was a guy who they got in free agency.
Actually,
I believe, round draft pick last year.
They have Dak Prescott, Mike White, Dalton Sturm, and Cooper Rush.
Yeah, that's not good. Good pickup by you. Why would they draft Mike White?
To be a backup?
It's not smart of them. They needed to pick up somebody who they would pay. That's a team that should have paid Jay Cutler $9 million to play quarterback this year.
Per SpotRac, Cowboys, 5 quarterbacks under contract. Cap dollars, $2.776 million.
That's terrible.
Percentage of cap, 1.6.
Yeah, that's
NFL
what
NFL rank
yeah.
is 32.
Wow. That's really, really bad. That's playing with fire. Talk about playing with fire right there. Because not only do they not have a significant backup, but they don't have a maturing presence in the room. Like, they're on their own. That's bad.
The average salary for NFL quarterback is $5 million, okay?
Wow, they should, add.
They don't have $5 million in 5 players.
Oh, Mark Sanchez is suspended this year. Remember that? If he ever were to play, he's got a PED suspension. So they can't bring him there. They could, but they should call up Jay Cutler. I am not joking.
The middle of the pack, the 16th team in the NFL, has a salary total for their quarterback of $22 million.
And theirs is two? Oh, my God.
That is the Washington Redskins. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Is 22.
Yeah, that's the number.
Okay, 22 is the number for the middle.
Yeah.
Now,
that's kind of the Broncos. They're maybe
the
slightly
Broncos
over that.
The Broncos are 18.
Okay,
that's three players. Three players is 18.
You probably want to live 17 to 24, somewhere in there.
17, okay. And to go to 24, you can think of the New York Giants.
There you go.
The L.A. Chargers.
There you go.
And the Cleveland Browns.
There you go.
Seattle is right there as well.
That's 25. That's a sweet spot. You probably don't want to be too high over that unless you got an incredible superstar. Unless you got Ben Roethlisberger and Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers.
Garoppolo is killing the game right now. I mean, he's pushing the 49ers right now to the highest number at $38 million because
they have a $38 million room?
$38 million, 4 players.
Whew, they're probably a little too high.
Yeah.
$38 million for the quarterback room.
Yeah, but
Dallas's quarterback room this year is what? Would you say two?
Dallas Cowboys total room is 2.776. That's 5 players, and we know only 2 or 3 will make the team.
They are going to have a miserable season this year because it's not just about play on the field. It's about development. It's about everything that goes into it. It's about maturity with the rest of the team. It's how everybody feels about it.
Well, they also lost Dez Bryant and Jason Witten in the process.
Are they going to be bad this year?
Here,
Dallas Cowboys are going to be terrible.
If they kept 3 quarterbacks,
yeah.
The maximum number that they would have committed to their team at quarterback is right around $1.7 million for 3 quarterbacks.
Jeez. Where did you pick this up? How did you even think of this?
We were talking about the Glennon Trubisky
Doctrine,
and yeah. I started looking at the numbers. I'm like, well, where is the average? And so the number, you were right at $22 million is right at the average for 3 quarterbacks. 3 quarterbacks. It's about the roster, the salary cap consequence, not what the guys are actually making, but the salary cap consequence. And $22 million is right in the middle. Broncos is under that at 18.
Yeah.
And I saw the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs are also at that low end, but and the Buffalo Bills, and the L.A. Rams because they are all starting rookies. And they don't have those big-name quarterbacks who come in there as reserves, D-Mac.
So. Boy, the Cowboys should be making a move for Teddy Bridgewater in a big way right now. All right, we got to take a break.
That's good. That's good. That's a good call for Teddy Bridgewater. But I have a better one for what should happen next for our team here with the Broncos.
We'll get to it next.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
We were talking about trades behind the scenes. We got a good look at training camp for the Broncos now. And yeah, they're like, hey, it's practice. We're looking at film. And, you know, we're allowed in the media to move, like, in warp speed next to the coaches. The coaches have to take it on a day-to-day basis, Al, and not get too far ahead of themselves. But we're not held to that same standard. So we can project things. So when we say, okay, we've seen enough, it's time to sort of make a deal, the coaches can't necessarily do that, but that is John Elway's job. You know, John has to sit there, Matt Russell has to sit there, maybe even Gary Kubiak at this point, and sort of say, well, what does the future look like? So if you were projecting what the future looks like based on the 5 days of training camp, what could you see happening?
We have to make a trade at wide receiver to somebody. We have we have a glut.
Okay.
I mean, this is a good problem to have. But if it was me, I would be trying to move Demaryius Thomas. And if you want to get the most value, you would move Emmanuel Sanders because he's going to get you the most back.
There's no way they're moving Emmanuel Sanders.
Well, I don't think they're going to move
DT. First they're probably not going to move DT, but why did you pick out DT?
Because if you had those two wide receivers outside, they can both stretch the field, they can both create separation, and you can put Deshaun Hamilton in the slot, and away we go.
So based on the performance of the young guys,
yes,
you've seen enough to know you got to lose something in a trade. But the loss of whatever you would lose with DT would be made up for by the addition of?
Call it a third cornerback that you maybe.
Corner. We're still a little thin there, aren't we?
Corner.
Yeah. It's a good argument, Tremaine Brockness time. We're thin in that position. You don't really know what you got with Bradley Roby quite yet. Chris Harris, by the way, is not in the slot anymore. Chris Harris is. Who's your best guy?
Chris Harris is his best guy.
Now, he's been banging the table for that role for a long time.
It's not good for the Broncos.
But Chris Harris...
It's really not good for the Broncos.
Chris Harris has never really had this role before.
You know, I'm going to tell you why it's not good for the Broncos. Because right now, like, Chris is lining up basically on Demaryius Thomas. Demaryius Thomas is our number one receiver. And Chris Harris has been... Just, you know, he's been holding his own. I mean, he's been Chris Harris Jr. I'd like to see what Chris Harris Jr. looks on somebody like, you know, Cortland Sutton.
Not good. Just to keep it real.
You know, I want to see what that looks like on a consistent basis because he looks like a number one receiver. Emmanuel Sanders looks like a number one receiver. DT does not look like a number one receiver right now.
We've seen Chris and Emmanuel. I mean, we've seen him fight. We've seen him go back and forth.
There's one game.
But Chris does not look good against a 6'5". Not many corners do. But having Aqib Talib, who's 6'1".
Yes.
Well, that helps.
Yes. 21 was good for that. 21 would have been, I think, more appropriately positioned to handle a guy like Cortland Sutton.
Chris Harris, over the years, has had problems with guys.
The big guys.
It just is what it is.
I mean, really, he's never had to go against the big guy because we've had Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Okay, we've had Aqib Talib. But, you know, even when we start talking about the speed demons, that game November 25th here in Mile High against the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, bringing an AB in here, you don't want those issues. I mean, you're going to match Chris Harris Jr. up with AB? Man, we saw that. We don't want that. Man, that's a
zone. That's exactly what you're going to get.
That's a game where we play zone. I'm just telling you, that's a game that we play zone. I've seen that already. By the way, in Kansas City, good news. Young quarterback there is not having a good camp.
Mahomes?
Yeah, not having a good camp.
Let's stay focused on something for a second. I like where you're going. I think the Broncos will need a taller corner. Yes. Taller veteran corner.
And I don't know if it's necessarily veteran because Langley is that kind of guy.
Oh, wow. Come on. Right, can you imagine Antonio Brown against Langley?
No.
Who could handle or...
Nobody. Nobody in the NFL can handle him one-on-one. Right.
Who can handle...
Nobody.
You're on the right tip. Somebody like DRC. Somebody like Aqib Talib. I mean, is Tremaine Brock that guy?
I don't know because we haven't really seen him.
I know.
You know, so, I mean, if you want to know a type of guy.
Yeah, Tremaine Brock's that guy. He's the six-foot guy. He's the Aqib Talib sort of size, at least. You know, he's a couple inches taller than Chris. He'd be that guy.
But Langley is.
Langley's a disaster. Come on.
It's early.
Oh, well, he's an early disaster.
You know, Bradley Roby was not looking great early on in camp, and he finally turned it on. Maybe it's going to be a guy who has a little more speed. Maybe it's going to be a guy like Yiadom, who's 6'1".
Well, that's the idea, but he's young.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the...
Yeah, they would... That's the future. That's the future. It's not the now.
It's going to happen now.
It's not going to happen now. He's a rookie. So he's going to need time.
But you understand what I'm saying here?
Yeah, of course.
So the guy is going to be outside the numbers on the right side because quarterbacks are right-handed in this league. How many left-handed starters do we have in the NFL?
Oh, boy.
Can you think of one? Do we have one left-handed starter in
the
NFL?
Tim Tebow.
No.
Left-handed starter in the NFL. Oh,
left-handed starting quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'm sure there is one, but I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Okay, if you think of one, let me know because I can't think of one. Left-handed starters playing quarterback in the NFL. And boom goes the dynamite. I can't think of one.
I can't think of one either.
Kellen Moore.
Who's he start for?
Oh. No, he's a starter. Where is he at now? I know he's not in Dallas anymore. Where is he? Just threw it out there, Big Sexy. Just flop it out there. The reason that I said that we're going to have issues because right-handed quarterbacks.
Yeah, I just flopped it out there.
He just flopped it out there. Thank you, Coach Fox. Right-handed quarterbacks turn and throw the ball right a lot.
Would you trade Demaryius Thomas for a veteran, taller, Aqib Talib type cornerback? I would do that deal in a heartbeat.
I'm trying to figure out who. Who will we have that would come back to us with 2 years left on a deal?
You know, those cornerbacks don't grow on trees, though. I don't know if you would get value for it. You probably couldn't get value for it. It'd be nice to have, though. And listen, the Broncos made a good draft pick with Yiadom for sure for the future to be that guy eventually. He's just not going to be that guy tomorrow. And if you think you've got a special year brewing, and if you know, sure.
We could have had Richard Sherman. We could have had Richard Sherman.
Where's Richard Sherman now?
He's with the 49ers. You didn't see him get smoked the other day?
Yeah, his best may be done. I did not see him get smoked the other day. What did you see on Richard Sherman?
I guess it was his first practice after that torn Achilles.
Yeah,
it's not going to be.
I know.
Not going to be pretty.
Listen, the Broncos did the right thing. Yiadom looks like the right guy, and maybe in free agency next year you find another guy like that.
Did you put Yiadom? Let's just say that
you've got to go with Chris Harris.
Let me finish this. Let's just say that we are playing against. Tall receiver, fast. And is a jump ball guy.
we're in trouble.
Who would that be? Would that be AJ Green?
Sure. Well, I mean, we're not. Oh, sure. Just for the sake of argument, yes.
Okay, so we go AJ Green. How tall is AJ? I think AJ's 6'2". He's not that tall. I'm trying to think of a big receiver, fast.
If you're asking who do we've got to put Chris Harris and just hope for the best.
AJ Green, 6'4". You put. Chris Harris on AJ Green?
He's your best shot right now. Maybe, no, I think ideally.
Do you? Jump ball, baby.
Ideally, it's supposed to be Brock, who we got in free agency. It's supposed to be Trumaine Brock, but he's been hurt. It's Brock. Right today, it's Chris Harris because Brock was hurt.
No, it's but that's their number one. That's their number one receiver.
I gotcha. And
but I thought Chris Harris going on the number one receiver.
He is right now because they're hurt. Brock's out.
No, but he's. I thought that was the plan all year long.
Now we'll see.
See, because I mean, matchups count in this business.
It's the plan today. So when Brock's hurt, it's Harris, and it may be Harris anyways. It's a problem.
I want to see Harris.
You said it was your biggest concern, the secondary.
Yeah.
You're right. It for sure. It's the biggest matchup problem the Broncos have, and you're pointing it out. And we have seen Courtland Sutton
manhandling those guys out there,
owning the defense. And as great
you know what? I haven't seen Chris Harris Jr. lining up over there on. I want to see that matchup.
Sutton
you
will.
You want to see that matchup?
Sure. Sutton will dominate it.
The rookie going to take the vet out?
In the red zone. I mean, maybe if it's an open field, who knows? It's Chris Harris. He's great. But in red zone, in goal line or whatever, that is Courtland Sutton will own Chris Harris. And Chris knows it.
Dominique Rogers-Cromartie is still out there? Man.
Maybe. That's a good one.
He wasn't bad last year with the Giants.
Oh, bring him back. I'd bring him back right now. I'd offer him a deal right now. What do you have to lose?
Big guy, can run, and can still play.
All right. Let's think about it. It's a position of concern. You see how thin we are in that position when we have a couple injuries. We've seen it for the past couple days.
We need a big corner.
DRC would fit the bill. I don't know what his injury. I don't know what's going on.
Nothing. He's just, you know, an older guy.
I'd bring him in.
Great corner when he was playing here.
I'd bring him in.
Thought he was going to retire to become a school teacher, but I guess that didn't work out.
Meanwhile, Stink is looking at things on a national perspective because he's a fancy, fancy guy.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
I'm at the Summit, and I'm talking to the likes of Moose Johnson and Rondé Barber and Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson and Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long and all the guys who work for Fox and all the analysts who work for Fox, the guys in studio, the guys game. And it's really interesting because when you talk to them, Case Keenum is about seventh on the list of things that they're concerned about with the Broncos. You know, here in Denver, it's all Case Keenum this and Case Keenum that. And, oh, is it an aberration? And can he continue to play like he did last year? And is that just a fluke? And I'm telling you, to a man, nobody thinks it was a fluke. Everybody says he's in a good situation. He was in a great situation last year in Minnesota, and that's how he'll perform if you put him back in those kind of circumstances. And so Case Keenum wasn't the question. It was, can the offensive line perform? What's the right side of that line look like? More specifically, who's going to be their running back? Are they going to be able to produce there because Case Keenum needs a running game? Is DT still a number one? Who's going to be that tight end? Can they count on Jake? All the questions that we've been asking, Mike, that's the concern for the Denver Broncos from a national analyst perspective. Case Keenum is, I'm serious, he's fifth or sixth or seventh down the line of concerns they have about this Broncos team. And that's exactly how most of the national analysts felt about the Broncos. And you know what? Time will tell, but it's going to be really interesting to watch that third preseason game with Case Keenum in this offense to see kind of a preview of what we're going to get when September rolls around and they get their cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.